This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Like today, myself, Kyle Remenap, and my brother Will take on Super Bowl 58. Did the Chiefs win, or did the 49ers lose? Alrighty, we're a little bit later than where we usually post on Monday mornings. We've all had time to process Super Bowl 58 now. Kyle and Will are with me here. Guys, my number one takeaway from the Super Bowl is that the Chiefs are just inevitable. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do when the Chiefs put their mind to it that they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl, and you're just going to have to live with it. And Patrick Mahomes continues to be the best quarterback I've ever seen play the game when it matters. He may not always be perfect. He may not make the as beautiful and as impressive of throws as Aaron Rodgers has made in his career. But let's start with Mahomes, because he wins the Super Bowl MVP. He very quietly had over 400 yards of offense by himself when you include his passing and his rushing. And he continues to make the biggest throws at the biggest times, and you continue to feel 100% confident with him under the helm.
Brad, I said the exact same thing to my wife after the game. I said, the Chiefs and Mahomes have the same feeling of inevitability as a viewer that you got with the Patriots, the Tom Brady-led Patriots. I feel like that's the only thing that I can compare this to as far as feeling it. And I'm watching it and thinking, man, it still feels like no matter what, they're in this game. It didn't matter at any point. They're like, man, they're hanging around. They're not clicking. But at any given time, they can put it together and take this game. It felt that way the entire game. And, I mean, it's a dynasty. I mean, that's where we're at. And Patrick Mahomes was their main source of offense. I think at one point he might have been their leading rusher, maybe had the longest rushing play of the game for them. He put the team on his back. He was basically Superman. I mean, you can't say enough about that performance, even if it was in the latter half of the game, but that's why you play two halves, right?
Yeah, and I said it before the game, before the pod here, that maybe Patrick Mahomes didn't deserve the MVP, but the more I look at the numbers, the more we talk about it here, he's definitely the MVP of the game. He put that team on his shoulders in the second half and throughout the whole game, honestly. But just like you said, Kyle, it's a dynasty. I think either win or lose, it's still a dynasty. These guys are in the playoffs every year. This is the fourth Super Bowl appearance for them. This is a dynasty now. Patrick Mahomes is inevitable, and it's, you know, to the point that it's going to be a little scary. I hope it doesn't turn into the Packers going forward, where Patrick Mahomes doesn't get the weapons that he needs going forward to keep this dynasty alive.
Real quick, I just wanted to add on, because I did double check. Patrick Mahomes was, in fact, obviously their leading passer, but their leading rusher as well, with 66 rushing yards on 9 attempts, which is good for 7.3 yards a carry.
And it came at big times. I mean, he had that 4th-and-1 read option play. He had, you know, right after that, he had a third down scramble for like 18, 20 yards. He was huge. But Mahomes aside, would you guys say that the Chiefs won this game or that the 49ers lost it? Because I think right now I'm saying the Chiefs won it just because Mahomes did make the plays. But, man, the 49ers had plenty of chances to put this one away. The 49ers, if they don't have a ball hit off the foot of a gunner, if they can take advantage, though, of mistakes made by the Chiefs is really the biggest thing. The ball hitting off the foot, okay. Like, that was a random play, and it's unfortunate. It led to a Chiefs touchdown that swung the momentum of the game. It's a huge play, but there's not much the 49ers really could have done about that. That is just randomness in football. But you intercept Mahomes and you don't take advantage. You get a fumble from Pacheco, you don't take advantage. It felt like they left a lot on the table, and I look at those two turnovers and 0 points off of turnovers as such a big part of the game.
You talk about how, you know, there's opportunities, who won, who lost the game. This might be a weird situation, and this is typical of me, where I'm going to say, like, both things can be true. But a big thing that I harped on all week was Kyle Shanahan is either the head coach or a coach on two of the biggest blown leads in Super Bowl history. Obviously, the one that lives in infamy is the Atlanta Falcons. He was the offensive coordinator against the Patriots. And then the first matchup of the Niners and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Niners led by 10 with about 6 minutes left to play. And then they blew that lead, as we know, and the Chiefs started this crazy run of theirs with Patrick Mahomes. Emblematic of that in this game is there were three consecutive 49er drives in the third quarter with a one possession lead, and they went as follows. Pass, 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 punted the ball. Another one, pass, 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 punt, run, pass, pass, punt. Then if you really want to get deep into it, you can go into overtime where they went pass, pass, pass on their overtime drive, but they got bailed out by the penalty there at the end. This is so what Kyle Shanahan does. He finally figured it out in overtime that he's like, hey, maybe I should feed Christian McCaffrey, the guy we traded oodles of draft capital to go get. Maybe we should feed that guy like he's our best player. It worked. They went down and got a field goal, but it was way too little, way too late. It was a combination of that, and then, like you said, Brad, not capitalizing on a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, not capitalizing on the turnover that you got, that is huge. And so you take those two things and combine them, and it's like, well, yeah, this is a recipe to lose just a game just about against anyone, let alone the Chiefs, who you give them an inch and they'll take a mile when it comes to a comeback. So is it a cop-out a little bit, I think, to say that both things can be true? Yes, but I think I stand by it when it comes to looking at it. It was just kind of a recipe of disaster for the 49ers and the Chiefs kind of doing what the Chiefs do.
Well, and Brad, I think you mentioned it last week when we did the pod together, was that your biggest concern with Brock Purdy was, is he going to try and beat Mahomes in the way Mahomes plays, right? The is he going to be flashy? He's going to try and be flashy. He's going to try and be, you know, put the ball in his own hands. I think Kyle Shanahan tried to be Andy Reid. You know, we mentioned that he was going to put up a lot of offensive schemes with the amount of special players that he has, you know, McCaffrey and with Kittle and with who had a really quiet day yesterday, by the way, Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And then, yeah, to have him just try to force feed the ball when you've got a guy who already had 8 touches for 80 yards, you got to keep feeding that machine until it stopped. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan did, was just kind of crap the bed and tried to, what, out-scheme Andy Reid to think that, hey, he's not going to think that I'm going to keep passing the ball. And it just didn't work.
No, I don't think he was trying to outsmart anybody. No, I think that he follows a track record, and when he feels like he needs to make plays, he falls back on the pass. That's what happened. That's why they didn't beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl when he was the offensive coordinator of Atlanta, because they refused to run the football. It's why he blew a 10-point lead with Jimmy Garoppolo, because he left it up to Jimmy Garoppolo to go make all of the plays. And same thing here. This is the best quarterback that he's had, Brock Purdy, but you can't leave it up to that guy to make plays when the Chiefs have told you all game, you're going to get your yards with McCaffrey. We're going to let you get yards with McCaffrey. Guy had 80 rushing yards, 80 receiving yards. But if you add Kittle, Ayuk, and Deebo Samuel stats combined, they had 8 receptions for 81 yards. 8 receptions for 81 yards for those other 3 guys. Why are you slamming your head against the wall trying to go to those guys when you can just keep running the ball to McCaffrey, throw the ball to McCaffrey? those are the plays you should be going. Now, Juwan Jennings looked like he was going to be the MVP for a little while. The guy had thrown and caught a touchdown pass. It looked like he was the Super Bowl MVP. But then at the end of the game became Mahomes when the guy just on his last four drives had two touchdowns and two field goals. So Mahomes at the end of the game came up when it mattered. Kyle Shanahan came up small when it mattered because this is what he does. He comes up small when it matters every time. And it's a good problem to have, I'll kind of be honest with you. As a Detroit fan, it'd be nice to be someone who constantly makes it to the end but unable to finish. That would be a kind of a nice problem to have, like the 49ers have, where they have now made the Super Bowl twice and have blown leads to Mahomes twice. And if you're going to blow leads to somebody, that guy's really not that big of a deal to do it against. But no, I don't think he out-schemed anybody. I think he just made wrong decisions. I think he gets in his own head, and he's just he seems like a guy who doesn't react to the game in front of him, where he has his system and he has his players, and he's going to run it, and when it works, oh my gosh, are the 49ers good. And it can kind of start to roll downhill on you when it starts clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking. But when he has to be like mentally prepared for a part of the game that he didn't prepare for, then it becomes a problem. And this leads right into the thing of look at the post-game comments of multiple players. How many Chiefs players said, we knew exactly what we were going to do in overtime? We knew exactly what was going to happen. We were going to give the 49ers the ball. Even if they scored, we were going to go down and score and go for two. We weren't going to send it to a third possession. We were going to go for two and end the game in our hands. And Kyle Juszczyk said it. Eric Armstead said it for the 49ers. We didn't know. We didn't know that there was a second possession of overtime if someone scored. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have his guys mentally prepared. He is a great schemer. He would be the best offensive coordinator in football. I'm not really going against that. He's a great schemer. But when it comes to, and he seems like he's a good leader and a good football IQ guy, you know, football knowledge guy, and the guys rally around him. But when it comes to the little details, where Andy Reid seems like he's learned these things from Philadelphia, where he did struggle, I think there's a lot of similarities between Kyle Shanahan and early Andy Reid. It took Andy Reid's second iteration and him getting the greatest quarterback or best quarterback of all time. He's on the greatest track. Best quarterback of all time to get over these things. Kyle Shanahan, he seems like a young Andy Reid, the guy who's not winning the big game right now. I'm not saying he will never win a big game, but right now you have to bet against him.
I mean, for that, though, at the same time is, you know, the coaches around him, the front office that's in front of him, the players as well, they should have known the rule changes, right? They should be like, hey, you know, here's what's going on. Now, whether if it's enforced, you know, through practice and through film days or whatever, you know, that's, I guess that you can put that on Shanahan, but
yeah,
when there's rule changes, everybody should be a part of that. Am I wrong?
Well, he's the head of the snake.
It starts and stops with him. Like, that has to be communicated from the head coach. No question.
Let's move on to a couple of decisions that were made in the game, because I look at, I don't know where you guys sat, and this is actually nice because I didn't watch the game with you guys. Mitch, who's usually on this podcast, I was watching the game with him. I was watching it with my wife, many other people. But let's go to overtime. Fourth down and four from the 9-yard line. I know what our head coach, as Lions fans, would do, you know, at least mine and yours, Kyle. And I know what I would do, because I look at just specifically in this situation, if it was the other way around in the, you know, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes on the other side, maybe I would have just kicked the field goal. But I can tell you right now, fourth and four from the 9-yard line, I'm going for it. Or I'm at least calling plays on second and third down to make sure that I can go for it on fourth down. I disagree with that decision. Kicking a field goal in overtime where you're giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes, saying if you score a touchdown, you win, is literally asking to lose.
That's a tough one, because to be honest with you, when you started that, I thought we were going to talk about Andy Reid kicking a field goal with like 10 seconds left to tie it, even though I thought he might have time for another play. But to your point about the Niners and Kyle Shanahan kicking the field goal, I don't know. I really felt like in the first like three quarters of football, the Niners defense played really well. Like, we really just got, like you mentioned earlier, the fluke kind of, okay, well, they got the ball on a short field and scored one or two plays later. It's like, well, outside of that, they've played really well. I don't really hate the concept of putting it in the hands of his defense. I thought his defense played really well. They've got a lot of playmakers on the front seven of that defense. You know, Warner, Bosa, you good on the line. So I don't hate that. But I do agree that it does change the optics of a little bit, knowing who your opponent is, knowing that you have Patrick Mahomes, who's essentially like, you know, he's essentially like Brady, where it feels like if he loses, he didn't actually lose. He just kind of ran out of time in most cases. So that, I think, it's fair to question, but also I get the whole take the points thing. And there's a lot of people kind of doing, you know, pointing at all the people who criticize Dan Campbell for going for it. They're kind of saying, well, you know, Kyle Shanahan took the points. Are we going to rip him for that? Because they lost on a touchdown. It's like, I don't know. It's tough. And I think I would have been fine with either decision, honestly, with being in overtime and points being at a premium. But again, I think on 4th and 4, you can give it to McCaffrey, even though they, you know, faced a lot of loaded boxes. It wouldn't be a bad idea to try and put it in the hands of one of your star players on offense, because there's a lot of them.
So just kind of one omission real quick, Kyle, was that there was 6 seconds left at the end of the quarter there when he decided to kick the field goal. And at 6 seconds, they already threw one play. It's like, why risk it? I understand that point. But wasn't before the fourth, I know you want to talk about that fourth down, Brad. Now, before that was 3rd and 4, and they threw it, right? I'm trying to figure out why they didn't run the ball on 3rd and 4 with Christian McCaffrey back there to make it a more manageable 4th down for them. That's the bigger mistake. Not just not going for it on 4th down, because not going for it on 4th down after, again, what was it, a rushing play, then 2 pass plays that just weren't working in your favor. Kicking that field goal was the better decision. It really was. It just kick the field goal, get the points, because your defense has been good.
So but the hold on. So let's forget, you know, him going forward or kicking on 4th down. Like, sure, you know, if you're saying that 4th and 4, you're supposed to kick it, then fine. But then let's go with, should he have, when they were had, you know, it, what was it? It was 4th and 4 from the 9-yard line, right? That's what it was. So you're talking then it's 1st and 10 from the 15. When he had 1st and 10 from the 15, should he have essentially said, if we get inside the 10, it's 4-down territory?
Yeah, I guess when you're that close.
That's my problem. Why the hell,
you're right,
when you're within 15 yards, why the hell, when you're within 15 yards in the Super Bowl, are you giving it back to Patrick Mahomes? That's so stupid. That's asking to lose. Sure, maybe on 4th and 4, you do kick it. I still would have gone for it. But you have to have one or two plays in there that you feel really, really good about. So I would have gone for it either way on 4th and 4. But I'm looking at, how the heck can you have 1st and 10 from the 15 and think there's even a possibility you're kicking a field goal?
Yeah, I think that's why, again, what was it? Kyle, do you still have the progressions up, the play-by-play there, to show what that was on the 1st and 15? What was the next 4 plays?
So, I'll run you guys through the plays. 1st and 10 at the KC 15. McCaffrey rushes for 6 yards. 2nd and 4 at the Kansas City 9. Christian McCaffrey runs for 0 yards. And 3rd and 4, Brock Purdy steps back to pass. It's incomplete. So,
yeah, great blitz.
And then 4th and 4, 27-yard field goal.
I think the incompletion rattled Shanahan a little bit there, to the point where he said, you know what, they stuffed McCaffrey once. I can't get in the end zone here. Let's get the points and let's stop them. And I think I'm on your side. It's the wrong decision. They should have gone for it again. And you know what? And you force Kansas City to go even further with the same amount of time left.
See, I think that I think you're probably right on second down. You know, you're thinking if he gets stuffed, he probably is like, well, it kind of made him a little bit more timid, him being Kyle Shanahan, to be clear. I don't know, though. I mean, we've seen it with the Lions. You know, you can tell usually if a team is going to go for it on fourth down by their third down play call. I don't think anyone should feel if you plan on going for it on fourth down, you don't. There's no obligation to throw it. You can run something that gives you a chance, like some sort of play action pass or some sort of pre-snap motion to give you some sort of look that you want, or you can run it. The whole playbook's open. So I think he definitely was thinking field goal, unfortunately, just because if you on third and four, if you're thinking four downs, you could have run it there. And I would have. I know he just got stuffed, but you got to give McCaffrey a shot, or maybe just run something that's like an extension of a run play, like, I don't know, maybe like a screen or something like that, or some sort of just quick dump off to get him in space. It's a tough decision, but ultimately, I think either way, you could have nitpicked one decision. But the tough part is with a touchdown, Mahomes gets the ball back either way. So with the new overtime rules. So it's a tough one, man. I just it's a
Yeah,
tough decision. I realize that's a cop out.
with a field goal though, Patrick Mahomes says, all I gotta do is put the ball in the end zone, we win. That's a whole nother mentality. Instead of putting the end ball in the end zone going, we're tying.
And think about Mahomes' mentality or anybody's mentality, not even just Mahomes. We're talking about this, but the minute the Chiefs got to the 40-yard line, they could relax because they're like, okay, good. Now we're good. We're in field goal range. Now we can play with house money. I don't think it was a tough decision. I was saying it was wrong from the get-go. Let's go back to the beginning of overtime. I feel like I'm the only person in the world who's talking about sports who didn't really have a big issue with Kyle Shanahan taking the ball at the start of overtime.
No.
I know that, yes, the advantage might be to go second because you know what you need to do. But I've always said, especially in college overtime, because it's only 25 yards, that I know the analytics say going second is better, but man, if my offense is cooking, I want to go first because I want to put the pressure on. And same thing here. His defense just gave up a 2-minute drill down the field for a game-tying field goal. I'm not putting them back out there. I'm going to go run my offense. And the drive was really good. They had, almost 7 minutes off the clock all the way down the field. And then I think he made the poor decision of not going for it. But man, if you go, 7.5 minutes and then you punch in a touchdown, I don't think we're talking about it. So I had almost no problem with him taking the ball to start overtime.
No, me either. And we see that with a few teams doing that now, where not just in overtime, but in the beginning of the games now, they're like, hey, we want to get this offense going. We want to put points up now because we want to be able to start the pressure. And I think, unfortunately, though, with Kyle Shanahan, he probably took the point, wanted the ball first because he didn't understand the overtime rules. So he goes, hey, if I can go down and get the touchdown, it's over. And
No.
come to
He
find
knew the
out.
overtime rules because he explained his reasoning as the third possession. His thought was, I want the ball first because I score, they match, and then it's sudden death, and I'm going to be the one who gets the ball. That was his reasoning post game. So he knew the rules. He just, got it wrong.
Brad, you I think have swung me because if you take the ball, and I don't mind taking the ball, it kind of comes with the level of aggressiveness that I think is implied. And I think if you're going to take the ball, you have to go, especially against Patrick Mahomes, you have to take the ball with the intention of we're going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
We're not going to play for a field goal. We're going to go get a touchdown. It's easy to, I guess the big thing for me is it's kind of easy to second guess in hindsight for me, but the more I think about it, if you're playing to win the Super Bowl, I think, and you take the ball to start overtime, regardless of whatever he thought the rules were, which it sounds like he knows, and it's regardless of what set of rules you're playing with, I guess is what I'm saying. You take the ball with the intention of getting a touchdown. That's what you're doing. That's the whole goal, I think. So I think, Brad, I'm on your side now. Like that fourth and four, And I will say this, if it's fourth and four, I'm running a different play on third and four. If I am going for it, I'm not just doing a drop back pass.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to run something different or, you know, give myself a better chance to, if I don't convert, I have a closer fourth down. So yeah, I think you've convinced me.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to do, is to be the voice of reason. But we've spent too long talking about the Niners, not enough time talking about the Chiefs here. Because that defense was tremendous, and that's something we haven't talked about enough. Steve Spagnuolo put his group out there, and they got the job done. And people have been mentioning all year, oh, well, this is the year to beat the Chiefs because they don't have the high-flying offense. And I actually think this might be one of the better Chiefs teams they've had, because they aren't just having to depend on Patrick Mahomes' arm. The days where Patrick Mahomes is really special, they're going to win. This defense is legitimately good. And I don't understand why just because they don't score 45 points a game means that they're not as good. So I completely reject the idea of this is the year to beat the Chiefs. No, it wasn't. This was a year it was going to be even harder to beat the Chiefs, because not only is Mahomes really hard to stop in a big game, you aren't going to score more than 19 points in regulation. Like, you just aren't, you aren't going to score, and we're going to be the guy with the better quarterback in the 2-minute drill. Good luck to you. I think that this is one of the better Chiefs teams when you look at the talent top to bottom, because guys, where is the hole of this team?
Well, in the wide receiver core, of course.
Right. And you have the best quarterback in the world. Wide receiver probably is not that important to the best quarterback in the world. If you have Jared Goff, who's a good quarterback, yep, wide receiver is very important. There's most teams in the league, wide receiver is really important. All right, so wide receiver, yes, that's a hole. Where's the second one?
To play devil's advocate, with Joe Tooney being out, maybe one of the guard positions, but that ultimately didn't matter a whole lot.
My answer was going to be tackle, was that they're actually not that great at tackle. And that got proven in this game. Chase Young and Nick Bosa ate them alive. But yet again, Mahomes is that good that he's able to get around it. My point is that we were going to go to a lot of positions, I think. You were going to say guard without Joe Tooney. We were going to go to a lot of positions before we got to defense. And we might have said slightly pass rush. But like, this defense doesn't have holes. They have great corners. They have good safeties. George Karloftis is a game wrecker. Nick Bolton's a really good linebacker. Like, this defense is really good. It's really talented. And I don't understand why that's not being talked about. It's like, wow, this is one of the better defenses of the last 10 or 15 years. When you need a stop, it doesn't get the flashy amount of sacks. It's not the Legion of Boom getting a ton of interceptions. It's not that, but they're going to put a slow stranglehold on you until Mahomes has the ball down by three, going down the field with a minute and 43 seconds left, and you have to try and stop him. And now, luckily, San Francisco did with just holding him to a field goal. But that was, I think, at the time, I think all three of us would agree, that was best case scenario.
Yeah. I kind of slightly disagree. Just slightly disagree on one point, is that this isn't the best Chiefs team. It's still a beatable Chiefs team. And I think the reason I lean that way is more because of the fact that they've made a lot more mistakes because of the wide receivers, and other teams should have been able to capitalize on those mistakes, on the fact that there was a weak wide receiver core, regardless of who's quarterbacking at the helm. And teams just didn't. I mean, teams just weren't able to capitalize on the fact that they are weak in a really important position.
Why weren't they able to capitalize on those mistakes?
Well, because, again, yes, I know the defense.
Because the defense is too good.
Again, I know. I know the reason why at that point. But
I think what I think you're getting at, and I'm kind of guessing, is it may not be the best, but it's the most balanced. Whereas I feel like in the past, it was Tyreek Hill, like speed, explosive offensive plays, just to kind of get play from ahead so the defense could play with a lead, because the defense wasn't.
It's not even balanced, because the defense is so much better than the offense, right? It's completely 180'd on it, where, you know, a couple years ago, it was the offense that was so much better than the defense. But teams just, yeah, weren't able to capitalize because, yeah, the defense was really good. But there are some really good teams that should have, you know, beaten, you know, you're talking about a Ravens defense that couldn't capitalize on it, and an offense that's supposed to be one of the better offenses in the league couldn't get past it. And that's, I guess, you got to tip your hat to Spagnuolo on that defense. But this was unfortunate, you know, for other teams that just couldn't capitalize.
I think, one, to your point, like, there was a game with, like, the Lions game. The Chiefs, like, the Lions, this is a little reductive, but can really thank Kadarius Toney for dropping multiple big passes in that game. That's a game where you could look at the wide receiver core and say, that cost the Chiefs a game. I don't think Chiefs fans care or even remember that at this time and at this moment in time, but it's just something that I really remember watching that game. As far as the defense goes, Brad, I've heard a lot of people talk about, like Romo mentioned it during the broadcast last night, you know, that the Chiefs defense had a lot of youth on it. So I think the idea of the Chiefs maybe being quote unquote beatable this year came from the perception of, like, well, youth on defense translates to struggles. And that really hasn't been the case. You know, one of my favorite players on that defense is McDuffie. I mean, he had a huge pressure late to force a throw from Purdy that was errant. And guys were open on that play. It was a huge corner blitz from the slot. It was really an awesome design, but a lot of youth that turned up and played well. And when you pair it with a veteran like Chris Jones, who's also had a monster game, also forced huge incompletions where guys were running open, you know, it's a good winning combination. And I think that when I say that, you know, the Chiefs are more balanced this year, it's like, yeah, you know, Mahomes doesn't have to attempt 55 passes, 60 passes a game, throwing it to Tyreek Hill or Juju Smith-Schuster, or, you know, take your pick of whoever, you know, whatever elite speed wide receiver they've had the last few years. They're able to say, you know what, okay, we're comfortable giving Isaiah Pacheco 10, 12 touches a game, running the ball, kind of grinding out and playing a more balanced attack rather than just kind of going into this whole, like, fastest show on turf, passing it and letting the kind of the talent show. It's more of like, okay, we can rely on our defense. We can rely on our running game. It's not all on Patrick Mahomes, which is ironic given the performance he had in that Super Bowl, as we talked about him with the rushing and the passing stats and whatnot. But overall, I think they can kind of say that they were a really balanced team this year, which they may not have been able to say in the past.
And I think that, just for the record, I think last year's Chiefs team was better because they did have the number one offense in the league last year, and this young defense could make plays last year. They came on at the end of last year where this Chiefs defense was young and learned how to play last season and then figured it out towards the end of last year. And that's kind of where I look at this. And last year's Chiefs team, I think, was better, but I think this Chiefs team has just as good of a chance of beating the last team that beat the San Francisco 49ers. I think I'd put them right there with them. I don't think that would be, oh, like, that Chiefs team's going to kill them. Like, why? Because they had Tyreek Hill? Well, look what they did to the three superstars, Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, that this team had. Now, that might have been partly due to Debo's hamstring tightening up in the third quarter there. So that could have been part of it. But this Chiefs defense was so, so good in this game throughout the year because it seemed like they had somebody you depended on everywhere and something that they could depend on. And kind of what I want to wrap up on is special teams. You know, they didn't make the special teams mistakes. There was huge swings in this game on special teams. Of course, the punt that hits off the foot, but I think that you can find a way to move on from that. But look at how big, it's amazing how many things happened in this game that led to the outcome, because one thing I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about is, you know, the only reason Mahomes needed a field goal at the end was because Jake Moody just freaking line drive to kick into the back of his, you know, lineman's head instead of getting a good kickoff and sending it, you know, through the uprights. People were talking about, oh, Jake Moody didn't miss a field goal and he held the Super Bowl record for what, an hour on the with his 55 yarder. But that kick was huge. That kick is massive that he didn't just make a normal kick. It looked low from the start, and he just absolutely beelined it into the line.
Yeah. It was something, actually, funny enough, when we were having some technical difficulties, is something I mentioned to Kyle earlier, was the fact that there's two people that I blamed in this game, and one of them was Moody for that kick, and the other one was Kyle Shanahan. Another person to blame for, I think, this loss too, and not getting talked about, was Steve Wilks, is that his name, for the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, who played soft coverage all the way back. How many times Romo circled five guys outside the tackle box and wasn't giving them, you know, any kind of fits, and just let them roll down the field. It was just, you know, as much as we want to talk about, you know, Kansas City winning this game, a lot of mistakes happened in the coaching. And again, you know, Moody missing that kick. It was for the 49ers kind of falling apart at the end. And this doesn't diminish, I think, Kansas City's legacy and dynasty going forward. I think they're going to be a team that's going to wreak havoc for the next 10 years, or for as long as, you know, Andy Reid is going to stay at the helm.
No, and I agree with that strictly because I didn't apologize as a Lions fan when people were saying, oh, well, the Lions only beat the Chiefs because they dropped the ball. And I'm like, you're right. The Lions took advantage of the Chiefs' mistakes and won the game. You're absolutely right. They dropped the ball and the Lions didn't. That's part of being a good football team. So you're 100% right. This doesn't diminish what the Chiefs did. They didn't kick the ball into the line. You're right. They didn't do that. They didn't have a punt land off someone's foot. Everybody on the team was comfortable with overtime. All of those things are mistakes that San Francisco made. And they didn't, because they were prepared for those things. So you're 100% right. This doesn't diminish it. It just looks at San Francisco even worse. But yeah, special teams was so big in this game because of things like that.
Well, let's even flip the coin, or, you know, other side of the coin, and look at how, you know, the huge, obviously, yes, the extra point was huge. The missed extra point was huge. How big was Harrison Butker kicking a 57 yarder? I mean, that, like, and they had nothing going on offense. And I remember when they lined up to kick that, I'm kind of thinking, well, I know Harrison Butker is very good. He's a very good kicker. But boy, does 57 yarders feel like a gamble, and it feels almost desperate, is kind of what it struck me as. But then he made it. And I was like, okay, you know, I think the risk reward was worth it there, because that is a huge, like, if you can punt it there and then, you know, we'll let our defense, you know, make him go 90 yards, whatever, to get those points, 3 points, though it may be, on 50s, on a crazy 57 yard kick, that gave them a little bit of juice, not a ton. Cause I still think there were some lulls after that, but it still was like, they're going to be in this game. They have the special team execution, especially on from Harrison Butker. You know, he made a lot of huge kicks in overtime and in the fourth quarter to tie that game up too. He was just as big, and it's just emblematic of what you talked about, Brad. Like, the special teams execution for the Kansas City Chiefs was championship level.
Yeah, taking advantage of mistakes is something that you have to do. But just, I look at this as a Lions fan now, and I obviously mentioned it with the people I was watching of, man, damn it, like, the Lions would have won this damn game. Like, the Lions would have won this game, because Dan Campbell would have just, he'd have gone into fuck it mode and just been like, I'm going to play my game. Like, I don't care what you do. I'm going to keep playing my game. And he did it against San Francisco, and it backfired. And it ended up where Josh Reynolds drops the ball, you know, twice, and they're not in the Super Bowl. But if they had caught those balls, I think that he would have seen Kansas City's mistakes. He would have taken advantage of those, and it would have been a game where he would have gone in just complete fuck it mode, and it would have done. So I'm really sad now. I was even more sad now because I was like, damn, the Chiefs didn't even play well. Like, now they might have gotten up for the Lions because the Lions did beat them 20 weeks before, but man, Kansas City, what an improvement from week one to the Super Bowl. What an improvement they made throughout the year, to find who they were, to throw the ball to wide receivers less. They knew their wide receivers couldn't be trusted. Kadarius Toney was a healthy scratch. They found who they are as a team. They went, okay, we're going to run the ball. We're just going to give the ball to Pacheco. We're going to trust our defense. We're going to play old-style football. They deserve to be champions because they are willing to adjust. And that's something that a lot of teams wouldn't do. We've sometimes mentioned that we're talking before the pod, Matt Nagy got brought up, and Will's, one of the things you hate about Matt Nagy is he refused to adjust to his team. He said, I'm going to run my offense, and I'm not going to help them do that. I'm running the offense. I'm the play caller. I'm the guy who created this. They have to adjust to me. That's not how Andy Reid saw it. That's not Andy Reid, who's known for these high-flying offenses, could have very easily said, no, I'm going to throw the ball downfield anyway. You better learn to catch it, Kadarius Toney. He said, no, I have Pacheco. I have a good offensive line. We have a great defense. I trust everybody on this team. It's the hallmark of a great coach and a great leader.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier when you said it's just experience at this point for Andy Reid. He has learned and really learned and made his mistakes. And even though he did get to one Super Bowl with the Eagles, you know, he still had a lot to grow. And it's nice to see somebody that they can rally around and a guy who does adjust to his team. Hey, I know what my weapons are. I know the guys. They know me. We're going to go win this thing. And that's why they're going to be, like I said earlier, wreak havoc for the next 10 years or until Andy Reid just says, I'm done.
The three-peats never happened before. You could fully convince me one's going to happen next year, because if the Chiefs can win by adjusting to playing a defensive model, not just an offensive model, with an offensive head coach, well, then I trust them at any time that they're going to be able to take the team they have and find a way to maximize it. I think when you have Mahomes and you have Andy Reid, who apparently can adjust anything, and you have Steve Spagnuolo, who you can trust with the defense, even a young defense, they're going to win. And I would not be surprised if they're the first team to ever win three in a row. Find Taking On Sports on social media. You can find us both on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Guys, thank you very much. For Kyle and Will, I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.